Comes to us from the New Testament, from Luke 21. It takes place in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's nighttime. Jesus is alone with his disciples. They're up on the Mount of Olives. They're looking across the Kidron Valley. And they can see the eastern wall of the city of Jerusalem with the temple tucked in behind. So the disciples have just asked Jesus and commented on the magnificence of the temple buildings. And Jesus said, "You see these magnificent buildings? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left on another." And of course, the disciples wanted to know, when will this happen? So this is what Jesus said. "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. People will faint in terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. When you see all these things beginning to take place, stand up and lift your head high, for your redemption is drawing nigh." Then he told them this parable. "Consider the fig tree or all the trees. When their leaves come out, you can see for yourself and observe that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will come upon you suddenly, like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Always keep watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you will be able to stand before the Son of Man."
Good morning, or Happy New Year. I'm excited to be here with you all this morning to ring in the beginning of the new church calendar and the beginning of Advent. Advent is a time meant to prepare us for what is yet to come. Traditionally, a time of reflection and preparation as we await the coming of a Savior, a Messiah, who will come to redeem the world. Certainly a theme that resonates well with me. Typically, I assume many of us, associate Advent with stories of preparation in the lives of those affected most by the Christmas story. In Advent, we often hear about angels coming to Mary and Joseph. We hear about Elizabeth and Zechariah, or we hear from Old Testament prophets foretelling Jesus' coming, sometimes thousands of years before the promised Savior was born. So before I looked at the scripture for this morning, when I was agreeing to speak here today, this is what I assumed I'd be speaking about. I assumed we'd share stories from one of the Gospels about preparing for the birth of baby Jesus, or perhaps John the Baptist. So when it came time to sit with the text for this week, imagine my surprise at finding this passage from Luke chapter 21 that happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. This year's main gospel text for Advent is not what I expected. This text for Advent 1 is quite frankly confusing and almost uncomfortable for me. It's not a text about awaiting the birth of a baby. There are no angels telling about a birth. They're not telling Mary and Joseph not to be afraid. No mention of pregnancy. In this text, we are not awaiting a baby. We do have a text from the prophet Jeremiah, which has often been interpreted as foretelling Jesus' birth. But even it reads differently when read alongside this passage from Luke. It seems odd to me that in our gospel text this morning, instead of hearing about the coming of Jesus as a baby, we hear from Jesus. At the same time that we begin preparation and move into a time of anticipating the celebration of Jesus coming into the world as a baby, we are also hearing from Jesus a reminder that even as we await the coming of a Savior, even as we await the kingdom of God to come among us, in a way, the expected Messiah, the expected salvation, the kingdom of God is already here among us. Advent, in this text, becomes a holy time of both now and not yet. In this text, Advent encourages us to look both forward and back. Traditionally, on the first Sunday in Advent, we talk about the theme of hope. Advent culminates with God providing. The Savior, the promised redemption, arrives. Hope is not in vain. But our text reminds us this morning that just because Jesus arrived 2,000 years ago doesn't mean we don't still experience longing. The one-time event of Jesus coming as a baby is still playing out in our world today. The work is, as of yet, incomplete. We still have a lot left to hope for. In the Luke passage this morning, we hear Jesus talking to the disciples. He is talking about the things still to come. He is talking about the work that still needs to happen, about how preparing for the coming of the fullness of the kingdom to arrive among us is not finished. He is preparing them and us for a second coming of Christ. And I'll be honest and frank. I get nervous when we begin talking in such terms. The idea of Christ coming in a cloud seems so unrealistic and so hard to comprehend and so outside my frame of reference that it scares me. I'd much rather await Christ coming as a baby. I have no children myself, but as my friends begin having children, I think I can start to understand the idea of preparing for a baby, the work and thought that goes into that preparation, the hope for safety and health, the dreams for a child's future that come with preparing for the coming of a child. Although this is still somewhat outside of my frame of reference, I can imagine and empathize with this experience and relate it to experiences around me. But how do we begin preparing and waiting for the kingdom to be ushered in by the coming of Christ in a cloud? This text reminds us that we are doing both. As we enter Advent, we await Christ coming into the world in two different ways. In this intense, confusing text reminds us that Jesus comes into the world in both fantastical, miraculous ways that are hard to comprehend and understand, that miraculous deeds are not outside of the work of God. That if God were to come today on a cloud, we shouldn't be surprised. That's within the realm of possibility. But the text also reminds us that God ushers in the kingdom in more subtle ways too. That the natural world also tells the story of Jesus coming. Even the plants and the trees can signal God's redemption. Even the waters and the clouds can show that God is here. After the winter of death and hibernation, when trees have lost their leaves, grass dies, and the world is cold and dark, this text reminds us that the buds on the trees point towards redemption. Buds appear and signal that change is coming. The clouds open and signal that God is here. This text reminds us that Jesus comes in miraculous, unnatural ways, but also comes in subtle, natural ways. The cosmos changes and the clouds open and make way for a coming king. And a baby is born in the most unholy, probably stinky, unnoticeable place. Both encompass God's way of being and working in this world. God ushers in the kingdom through a baby in a stable and through the parting of the clouds and intervening in the way that we even understand that the world can work. To be honest, although it makes me uncomfortable, this Luke passage today is the Advent passage that I need right now. I look around the world, I see war and conflict and polarization, and it feels pretty easy to lose hope. It's easy to conclude that we are a godless, broken world, that somehow the baby born 2,000 years ago failed. It is easy to conclude that we were not and will not be redeemed. This Advent, it is not a baby that I feel I need to prepare for. It is a shift in the whole world order. It's a miraculous turning of how the world works. And this morning, the text reminds us that just as God began work in the birth of a baby 2,000 years ago, God's work is still being birthed today. Our text this morning does not sugarcoat it. The world will remain broken and despairing. There will be anguish and angst and terror and fear. There will still be struggle. The coming redemption is not yet complete, and this leaves us waiting and longing and hoping for something new. But the text also reminds us that this waiting, this longing, this hoping, this is exactly where God shows up to make things new. And this is where the work of ushering in the kingdom truly begins. As Carolyn mentioned, when I'm not guest preaching places, my day job is working for the Restorative Justice Department at Mennonite Central Committee, Ontario. My role is to work with faith communities and individuals returning to the community on parole. I support efforts to reintegrate into the community in healthy, sustainable, and redemptive ways. This is the work of Advent. This is the work of preparing, being on watch, doing the work ahead of time to prepare, and then joining God in bringing about a new world order. This past year, I've been working with a church, with one church in particular, that is teaching me a lot about Advent and how hopeful this work is. They were approached by an individual from a federal institution about a year ago, and this individual asked if, upon returning to the community, they might be able to call this church their spiritual home. The church, despite the many unknowns, said yes. They began preparing for this individual's arrival. They were scared, they were fearful, they were unsure. And together we've been planning, training, discussing, praying together for nearly a year. The time has passed and we hadn't heard anything from parole officers or institutions or the individual themselves. So we grew discouraged. We started to lose hope. We wondered if perhaps the person maybe was released to a new community instead. This week, the hoped-for individual will be released. And though we have been preparing, hoping, planning for nearly a year, now is when the messy kingdom work begins, or at least begins anew. This is an Advent story. In the case of the church in this story, God's work has been happening already for a year and longer. And yet this work is still just beginning. God has been working towards redemption, has been reshaping the world by reshaping the minds and the hearts of the church all this time. But God's work in restoring relationships and restoring the individual to the community is just beginning. And I think this is true of this morning's scripture and our world as well. In the scripture, we are reminded that God's work has already begun. It started long before the preparations made by Mary and Joseph. It started 1,000 times over in the stories of redemption and grace in the Old Testament, of God's working through and with broken or hurting people, from Adam and Eve to Noah to Moses to David to Ruth and Naomi. It continued through the prophets announcing a better world on the horizon, if we could just see it. God's work started in the promise to save God's people from exile and despair, even and perhaps especially when it was their own mistakes that brought them to that place. In our scripture this morning, we are reminded that God's work has continued throughout the Old Testament through the fulfilling of prophecy to bring a Savior, albeit a Savior who looked and acted very differently from what might have been expected from a Messiah. And finally, in this scripture this morning, we are reminded that God's work still continues. As we await Christ coming again, we must remember that the kingdom of God keeps coming. Every time the world is flipped upside down, every chance at redemption, every act of resistance to oppression or pain or death in our world is a second coming, is the realization of God's work in the world. And it happens among us, even as we are about to lose hope that anything could ever change. Thanks be to God.